Welcome to this week's edition of Night Train Poetry in Motion with me, Neil Fagan. Your midweek 30-minute ride of spoken word poetry. There's no chat, no comment, just kick off your shoes and live in the moment. Tickets are ready, take a ride to a place in your mind with no place.
Don't go far off, not even for a day, because I don't know how to say it. A day is long, and I will be waiting for you, as in an empty station, when the trains are parked off somewhere else, asleep. Don't leave me, even for an hour, because then the little drops of anguish will all run together. The smoke that roams looking for a home will drift into me, choking my lost heart. Oh, may your silhouette never dissolve on the beach. May your eyelids never flutter into the empty distance. Don't leave me for a second, my dearest, because in that moment you'll have gone so far. I'll wander mazily over all the earth, asking, will you come back? Will you leave me here, dying?
One day in spring, a woman came in my lonely woods, in the lovely form of the beloved, came to give to my songs melodies, to give to my dream sweetness. Suddenly a wave broke over my heart's shores and drowned all language. To my lips no name came. She stood beneath the tree, turned, glanced at my face, made sad with pain, and with quick steps came and sat by me. Taking my hands in hers, she said, you do not know me, nor I you. I wonder how this could be, I said. We two shall build a bridge forever between two beings. Each to the other unknown. This eager wonder is at the heart of things. The cry that is in my heart is also the cry of her heart. The thread with which she binds me binds her too. Her have I sought everywhere. Her have I worshipped within me, hidden in that worship. She has sought me too. Crossing the wide oceans, she came to steal my heart. She forgot to return, having lost her own. Her own charms play traitor to her. She spreads her net, not knowing whether she will catch or be caught.
In the UK, 61% of families cannot afford to take their kids on holiday for 1 week a year. We'll die by the sword, but I'm filled with fear as to why this is not being explored, but rather ignored. This is untoward. Holidays abroad are rare. In fact, I know grown men on my estate who've never been anywhere. This is not fair when London is the sixth richest city in the world, and yet 4 in 10 children who live there live in relative poverty, compared with the national average. I swear, these children are not being given due care. There's no au pairs for them in the nanny state. It makes me want to tear out hairs and declare the Lord's Prayer. What a waste. I'm scared. These politicians need to get out of their sedan chair lairs, stop talking hot air and being laissez-faire, and repair the wear and tear on our great nation, which is clearly in disrepair. as is much of our housing and tower blocks, where the pedos are browsing while the dads smoke rock. It's hard to conceive, but don't be deceived. We've all seen mums on speed, which they hide up their sleeve, wrapping up presents on Christmas Eve for their children to receive the next morning when they're still buzzing from last night. This is a warning. In towers of Babel, which loom at the hearts of these estates like petrified trees, and you can never leave. And tinfoil, stained with smack, drifts around the stairwell, all brown like autumn leaves. 16-floor monstrosities where needles are in pools of urine. And once you're in, you're in. You ain't going nowhere. Best just to grin and take it on the chin. Your face is white and silent like your Charlie Chaplin. There are 6 million souls living on council estates in Britain, all by the poor bug bitten, and many in properties that are isolated, run down and abandoned. But no one seems able to explain how this happened, like they just got put out there by some random bandit. Underhanded explanations which put poverty down to drug and alcohol dependency, family breakdown, poor parenting or a culture of worklessness are not supported by the facts. But back down to brass tacks. Work does not provide a guaranteed route out of poverty. It horrors me that 2/3 of children growing up below the breadline in our time live in a family where at least one member works full time. This means that 6 out of 10 youngers has a parent whose job does not pay enough bread to keep the family well fed. Bring me this silver spoon up his arse, head of state farce, and show him what I see out my front window. Then find me a pastor or a headmaster or someone who might have some clues as to what's going on here. Child poverty imposes costs on broader society, estimated to be at £29 billion per year. When I was just a beginner, my mother would sometimes have to eat meat paste sandwiches for dinner so we could live like lottery winners instead of 1939 West Berliners or sinners. Although occasionally I did have to rob next door's milk, as did many of my ilk. Some weeks it was a choice between milk, butter or bread, decisions which must have filled my mother's heart with dread and stomach with lead. And I took extra care of my brand new threads, because they were for my little sister to wear. Fucking hell, Cheryl, a quarter of a century later, and I can still hear y'all breathing down there from the top of the bunk bed. While I never had a school shirt that didn't come from Oxfam or a charity shop, we always had matching socks. But why should this be a shock? I also never owned a single item that didn't fit properly, and we never looked slovenly. We always had proper roast chickens on Sunday to munch and beef dripping to crunch, and McDonald's was a reward for special achievements, not lunch. If you are poor, then just remember this. Childhoods are blighted by poverty, but that doesn't mean you can't bring your kids up properly. Money does not buy you joy, a clean conscience, style, wit that runs deep, true friends to keep, a good night's sleep, a sense of humour, good health, a life free from rumour or happiness. It just buys you stuff, of which there's never enough. Which is tough, but don't take it too rough. Because for free, we get given the only thing which really matters, and that is love.
I'd like to pretend that my hands aren't dirty from the soap of mental suppression, that the calluses are from hard work and not from picking my bones back off the floor on a daily basis. Ragged, dry, and weary. Every fairy tale has a root stapled into the hard soil of truth. They all have a moral, some sort of clerical error born from life's shadows. We watch, hoping to learn from the missteps of someone else's intrepid imagination, some 4D revelation singing lullabies to the young heart of humanity. And they bend to the fickle will of greedy creativity, making the yoke a little less bitter so that we can tongue the purge of denial without pouting. I'd like to pretend that my hands are clean, that I don't whisper cold lies into your palms and watch you drink from the frosted glass of my sincerity. Hope that you don't blink, that you won't notice the blood bubbling up and over my shiver before you finally finish the story. I just want you to understand, this isn't poison. This is merely me bleeding out and hoping you'll learn to love the taste of fire-kissed oxymoronic metaphors served up with juiced will and the vegan flesh of my inhibition, so that you can see through my eyes, know where I've been, and how it felt to be consumed.
Diversity in humanity, the genetic expression in variety, sex, race, skin color, mankind, but of different manner. Bob Marley once said, one blood, and of the different blood types, they all serve the same basic functions. Out of many, we are in one bond. With the social unrest we have with racism, disliking another for who they are, it is not so much the external which is the problem, it is the mindset to which we bear. Why are we fighting against each other? Who is the greater and the better? The flu virus can affect the black, brown or white. Anyone from any race and all can be great. We are all Adam's children, the human family from Eden, made as one by the Creator, the God of variety, our life giver. We all have our advantages, and all have their disadvantages. But let us value each other not by looks, but esteem each other as human beings. This is Jamar the Poet, expressing life through poetry.
It was saying by impulse in a rhythm. Music was the answer, and games were the prison. So I listened to my wishing of spinning these riffs. I couldn't look back now, smirking these spliffs. It was like I was new and I had something to do. I had something to say that I finally heard in a tune. And I remember I knew when I was about 16, after I had this bump that went wrong, feeling green, who said to me, I should be focused on music. I quit the weed for good now as I felt it losing. Went to college to learn, didn't get taught much about music, that is. To be honest, the course sucked. Psychology interested me because I thought a lot, but loads of essays just made me ditch that because I had another course in IT, sat staring at screens with these PCs I knew and where I had self-esteem. So I taught myself how to produce music at home whilst having fun too and just staying in my zone. And if anyone phoned, I'd say I was doing my tunes. Didn't say my anxiety also left me here consumed. Stayed safe in my room, venturing out now and then, and stayed up all hours, not ever caring till when. As all I wanted was to pretend that I was a pro, just like those tunes I spun that everyone knew. And it came in this track I called Serious Sound, which gave me a different feeling, leaving me proud. I thought as a clubber that I would enjoy this, you see, and it was the first time I could say that honestly. Then I made a couple more that I couldn't ignore, which I decided to then send to someone's door. I think it was like 5 I sent, and they liked 4. When they called me up, I swear, I nearly swore, because I dreamt of this time and literally had a dream. I guess deep down it was where I knew I'd be seen. And before I was 18, the dream was finally sorted. I was soon getting pressed and also exported. All around the world I was now somehow heard, and I didn't even need a single noun or verb. Like a virus I spread, but the disease was a cure. Not just for me, but for others to get lost and explore. And I did this for years, just dealing drugs to ears, with a career that my gears had to change with fears. See, music stopped selling, and to find stable ground, I hired myself out to DJs to create their own sound. It paid for my bills to keep me living the dream I was in, and now I was writing lyrics and thought and tried to sing. Just a challenge to now face a deep-seated belief, the one that kept me silent or was hidden underneath. But I needed a story to help that wasn't about me. Thought of someone who liked me at times didn't speak, so pretended I was Batman to write about the secret he had. Called it Take It to the Grave and smiled listening back. My first vocal attempt was done where I sung and rapped, which took a bit of time to get to where I could relax. Like that, a I tried other ways to use my vocals and vent. I guess till I was spent with a pen all broken and bent, getting misunderstood again and then put in a zoo. Well, I call it a zoo because of a cage I once knew that made me feel like an animal igniting my ticks, with these dogs spitting shit and their little pen clicks. I was under a section and now using meditation, and I tuned to a station to be the exceptional patient, respecting imperfections and natural selection to correct the perceptions in mute misdirection. Just knew what to do by not saying what really was. I couldn't say I feel fine, not really, I'm just a bit odd. It's everyone else that says I'm a cuckoo in a clock. My ticks and tops are just a squash humor. But if I translate my thoughts to be heard as a human, speak with this mind that you're kind of abusing, I'd say, Doc, you ain't human, I know you're a duck. Your quacks can be heard clearly, loud as fuck, because you think you're a swan all day long, just a goose barking, never thinking you're wrong. So I grew and flew away as the ugly duckling. He said I would lose everything, you know, all my stuttering. But I've learned to stumble in how I mumble, so I swing like Tarzan that's free in the jungle. While I once was feral, I'm still just as wild. I roar like a lion, but also speak like a child. Even be a tree if needed, flowing in the breeze, or go without sleep and just sit eating cheese. Now I medicate my art and express myself, making sure that I also suppress nothing else. Left with skills to use and also help others too. Basically thought I'd collapse, but I just grew. Still saying that I was okay, but I also had to learn some stuff I had to leave in my fire and burn. Thoughts and out karma while doing tricks still. Part of me, one, would make me even more ill. And I want to finally say, I know you meant well. You're just part of a business with pills to sell.
Ken Allen Dronsfield, I died today. I think I died today. Staring at the blank walls, a knife, a fork, a bottle and candle lay before me. The raucous sounds of blaring horns, screeching brakes and people shouting, echoing from the sweltering streets below through my shaded open window. The smells and hell of the city permeate the entire room, and the fan in the corner just quit. But I think I died today. I laid there on the old mattress, sweat running down my face. I dozed off for a bit and awoke in lovely fields of green grass with white crosses all about. I stood and watched friends of old toss roses of red into the hole of darkness landing upon a casket. I think I'm there, tucked inside, wearing my dark grey suit, white shirt and hated tie. Oh yes, I died today. I just don't know why.
Hi Neil and everyone, it's Scribble. This is a poem about one of those people that you try to avoid but somehow always bump into. It's called Crazy Jack and I hope you like it. He was known around town as Crazy Jack, a name only they had whispered from behind his back. For throughout the town, Big Jack was feared, renowned for chewing on people's ears. He had a face only his mother could love, all battered and twisted and covered in scars from the long years of fighting in the pub clubs and bars. He had an head shaped like an anvil, and his fists was as large as spades, and it only took a single dig to send men to the grave. Because Jack punched first and asked questions later, he had sent many a man to the undertaker. His favourite hobby was getting pub bouncers and bouncing them off walls, but he never ever fought just one, he'd have to fight them all. To watch him in action was crazy, like an old Popeye cartoon, as bodies flew like skittles all about the room. And then he'd walk to the nearest bar and he'd drink it dry of beer. Nobody dared refuse him, they served him out of fear. It was legendary how Jack could drink. He swallowed beer down like an unplugged sink. He made Oliver Reed look like Julian Clary, because he looked like Quasimodo, but Jack was twice as scary. Now sober he was nasty, but drunk he was a sight, like a giant keg of dynamite just ready to ignite. If people saw him coming, they quickly crossed the road, because it only made the slightest thing to make Big Jack explode. He was well known to the local police, but they left him well alone. They realised it was safer just to let him stagger home. And once in his house, the whole town would let out a sigh of relief, as things could only get back to normal when Big Jack was asleep. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Neil.
Thankful Kindness, a Kubelik poem by Jen Walls. Unfold caresses, dewdrops, love sun gaze, goddess. Grow kind, universal mind. Spark kiss, weave gold light. Flutter within, angel wings. Tend love seeds, blossom. Burst through dark soils to light. Extend, reach new heights. Lift into unknown beyond. Open love heartbeats. Blend soul, exquisite oneness. Flow breaths, be present. Come a flare, dare to be free. Touch kiss on vastness. Fire heart intimately. Sail true, seven seas. Quaver ecstasy fulfilled. Billow playfulness. Encourage earth's peace. Pour heart sunlit waterfalls. Enlighten joy's forest. Shine. Grow beauty blossoms. Bless all. Immortal heart bliss. Live thankful kindness.
The Trickless Magician. The magician has not been born yet. He is not a coin in a silk purse. His skin does not hold messages. He is not a tarot. All his soft wrinkles suggest nothing. The magician is curled in a plush bag of liquid in darkness. His inspiration comes via a rope of blood. His lungs are as still as the moment just the magician is now being born. His mother is not curtains. The audience is gone, is made of gone, is gone watching. No, is actually gone, not being able to not watch. Magician's mother is pushing, not pulling. There are no rabbits, for there are no hats. The magician's body is being squeezed. He cannot levitate like this, but the magician is about to pass to the other side.
Leif Edney Winger. Black and white. Oh, how the days drag on, like an album of black and white photographs, skeins of drab grey wool stringing on and on. Trying whole weeks together, and only at night, wrapped in the soft shades of sleep, do I find you. The painter colouring the corner of my dreams with bright tints, vibrant scraps of sun that once upon a time used to twinkle in the pages of our tale. There aren't enough words in the world to tell our storm of a story.
Hey Dad, can you tuck me in? Then read me a story about the magic violin, where everyone danced and slipper lost, where cows are sold at magic beans cost. The one with the apple stuck in the throat, or the troll under the bridge, and Billy Griff Goat. Where princesses are gorgeous, princes are brave, battle dragons avoiding fiery grave. You know, I love it when you tell me of elves and wizards, of giants and dwarfs, of ghastly beasts, gizzards, of castles and turrets, haunted caves, of madmen and spells lost in their raves. Go on, Dad. It won't take long. I'll be asleep soon if you sing my favorite song. I don't mind if you read or sing. I just want to hear I'm your princess and you're my king. So don't make excuses. Say a prayer with me. Sit on my bed. Don't be a parental absentee. Well, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the journey on the Night Train Express. Until next week, as we say on the Scribble Show, may your God or your gods go with you. Thank you for listening.